Okay, there's two verses. Okay, the first one is Romans 12, 1 to 2. That's page 1139 in the Blue Bibles. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And the next passage is Romans 8, 1 to 10, which is page 1134. Therefore, there is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness.
Let's pray. Father God, we long to understand more of what you are wanting to do in our lives and specifically in our minds. And so as we reflect on these passages today, as we think about what it means to submit our minds to you, to let you control our thoughts and our thinking, we pray even now that you would be speaking to us and revealing to us how we do that, how we surrender our thinking to you. And Lord, I pray that would be true as I read through my notes. That Lord, even now you would put your words afresh through my mouth and into all of our hearts. Amen. I wonder what your mind is like. What was that, sorry? A mess. Yep. Our thinking is one of those things that is incredibly powerful. Because from our thinking, from our minds, everything else flows. So what we think about, what we think of ourselves, what we think about God, what we think about one another, what we think about the world, all of those things will shape how we behave, how we interact, how we live. And so if, as this whole series has been about, we want to live a Spirit-filled life, then ultimately we have to have our minds surrendered and submitted to God, so that the Holy Spirit himself controls, directs, and influences our thinking. If we want to live that life where the fruit of the Holy Spirit is evident in our character, evident in our choices, where we want to form good, godly habits of life, of day-to-day choices that we make, then we need a mind surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And so ultimately, this whole series is really key on this particular sermon, in this particular passage. So Paul breaks it down for us quite simply. There is the old mind and the new mind. The old mind, he makes it really clear in this chapter from chapter 8 of the book of the letter to the church in Rome. The old mind is full of condemnation because our thinking by our human nature is sinful and selfish, and consequently, that thinking, if we simply carry on with our minds directed by whatever we feel on the inside, it will lead to a sinful life. A whole life just will be, because by nature, as human beings, we think about ourselves first. That is simply how the old mind works. Rightly, our mind will then condemn us. Our human nature will lead our thinking into selfishness, arrogance, human intellectualism, lust, greed, manipulation, dishonesty, arguments, gossip, laziness, control, and more. I don't know about you, but I could tick every single one of those things. My mind takes me to those places. We all do. I'm not speaking out of judgment. I am simply speaking out of reality. This is life. This is our thinking. And rightly, our minds then condemn us. Our thoughts and their consequent actions lead us to feeling guilt and self-recrimination. And sometimes our minds go too deeply into this and we find ourselves being beaten up by our own thoughts because the mind is powerful. It can lead us to be overly assertive. It can lead us to be overly self-recriminating. It can lead us to be ignoring other people's thoughts or feelings. Left to its own devices, the mind which is powerful but not submitted to the Holy Spirit will lead us to condemnation. Paul's letter to the church in Rome is really clear. That if we are submitted and surrendered to Christ, then he will give us his mind. And if we can surrender and submit and choose the mind of Christ, then this new mind, the renewed mind that the Holy Spirit works in us, is all about freedom. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we have been released from the condemnation that our thinking rightly deserves. We are now under grace. And under grace we have the mind of Christ. Our thinking belongs to Jesus in his redemption. He has redeemed us, including our minds. So we don't need any condemnation from ourselves and our own thinking or from anything external. We live under grace. Jesus has died for us. We are free. And our thinking through Christ should lead us to be rejoicing in that freedom. However, we live under grace, but our thinking is still something which needs training so that the Holy Spirit over time can slowly bring us to the mind of Christ in actuality, in the way that we think, not just under grace. So under grace, we are given the mind of Christ. But by the work of the Holy Spirit, he promises, and all of his promises are yes and amen, He promises that he will do a transforming work so that our thinking in the everyday life, everyday experience, is more and more like Jesus. We simply need to keep bringing our minds and our thinking back to the Holy Spirit and surrendering to him, giving him authority over our thinking. We submit, surrender our mind to him. The Bible repeatedly tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and our minds, and to lean not on our own understanding. And so there are two steps to this process, two steps to renewing our mind. The first is, come out from condemnation. Quite often, our own minds are the worst critique of ourselves. Maybe you've got somebody else who criticizes you more, but for the most part, we tend to be harshest with ourselves. Why do we do that? Why do we do it? Because Jesus doesn't do that. The first step to submitting to Christ is to come out from condemnation and receive the freedom of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross because he loves you, not because you're perfect, because he loves you. And so if in your own mind, in your own thinking, there is a particular issue around self-recrimination and condemnation, let me first encourage you, come out from under condemnation. Receive the mind of Christ. He has given it to you freely. He won it on the cross. And by his grace, he gives you his mind. And his mind simply is that he loves you, that you are precious to him. And because of his death and resurrection, you are whole and you are blameless in God's sight. Don't beat yourself up. The second step is the harder one because it takes the rest of our lives. We're never going to get this down, but our second step is to continually submit our thinking to the Holy Spirit. And he will do a work of transforming our thought life. Jesus has already won for us this freedom. He's given us a renewed mind. He's given us his mind. But we are still in a battle. Our minds and our thinking have been redeemed, but they need continually to be brought under the authority of God so that we can live out our freedom in our thinking. And so each morning, each evening, we need to prayerfully submit our minds and our thinking. What are the thoughts that go through your head first thing in the morning, other than coffee? That might just be me. What are the first thoughts that come into your mind in the morning?
I'm late.
Yeah, being late. The desire to keep sleeping. Yeah. There is something about each morning waking up and saying, Lord Jesus, please will you direct my thinking. Holy Spirit, I give my mind over to you again today. Whatever is going on, most of the time we're thinking about, I often wake up and think, what day is it? What am I doing? How quickly do I need to get out of bed? Is it school day? Yeah. But there's that sense of whatever, rather than going straight into the panic or straight into kind of other things that are not helpful, to wake up and to be first and foremost saying, Holy Spirit, today is your day. Whatever comes, please will you direct my thinking. His work of renewing our thought patterns and transforming our lives begins by each and every day, surrender. There are several things that the Holy Spirit does to do this work of transformation in our minds. The first I want to talk about today is the protection. So particularly where we have self-recriminating thoughts on a regular basis, on a pattern. Paul talks elsewhere about the armour of God, and he particularly mentions the helmet of salvation. Now, I really think that this is an important thing for all of us to grasp, that the helmet of salvation, the knowledge that Jesus has died for us, that we do not need to be beating ourselves up about anything. Anything. The whole point of Jesus' death is that we have freedom, that we are loved by him. Loved so much that whatever we have done, if we love him back, he embraces us. And our future, our security, our place in heaven that Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare is secure. Now, if we really believe that, if we believe that nothing in this life will change our status in the next, how would it affect how we thought about our lives now? Would we worry so much about all the details? Would we care so much what other people thought of us, or what clothes we wore, or, you know, any of the things that kind of occupy... Oh, that just might be a girly thing. Sorry, James. Yeah. You don't think about your clothes very often. I don't mean that harshly. I'm sorry if that came across too harsh.
It is what it is.
All of those things which fill our thoughts and our minds. The protection Jesus has given us is the promise of our eternal security in our Heavenly Father. If we trust that truth, then our thinking will not go back again to condemnation. It is an ongoing work. It's not something that happens once and then that's it and done. We don't need to deal with it ever again. It's an ongoing choice to protect ourselves by putting on again the helmet of salvation. By reminding ourselves each and every day, Jesus has died for me. I am free. I have a secure place in eternity. Nothing in this life can separate me from the love of God, however hard it is, whatever troubles or trials or tragedies befall me. My place in heaven is secure. Whatever mistakes I make, whatever mess I've done, whatever has gone wrong, whatever my mind would tell me, I am rubbish, or imperfect, or unlovable. That is not the truth. Jesus has declared that I am lovable, that I am made whole in him. That truth is our protection. And if we submit our thinking to the Holy Spirit, he will repeatedly put that helmet of salvation on our heads. The second thing the work of the Holy Spirit in our minds does is the recognition of his voice. When we submit our minds to the Holy Spirit, then what we're doing is becoming familiar with his voice. I don't know about you, but I hear lots of voices in my head. Sometimes my mother's. Sometimes my peers. Sometimes the bullies in the school playground from when I was 14 or 15. Sometimes the media, advertising. Sometimes the fear that comes in, that just creeps in. There are so many voices in our heads. There are so many things that we allow to speak to our minds and our thinking. What books do you read? What newspaper do you read? What do we read on websites? What do we listen to in the things that other people say to us on a regular basis? The perspectives presented in the media and in society generally have a way of shaping what our society thinks is acceptable or not. We also have to acknowledge that there is the voice of Satan attempting to make us think the worst of God, to believe his lies as he speaks negativity or twisted truth to pull us away from the grace of Jesus. The various voices we hear influence our thinking. Sometimes what we most need, if we are submitting to the Holy Spirit, is to quieten those voices, to take ourselves out of the contexts where those voices have a loud noise or competing for the attention of our minds. The mindfulness course particularly deals with that. Quiet days, going on retreats, other forms, even of a daily being still with God, are seriously necessary if we want our minds to be directed by the Holy Spirit. If we don't take that time, then we won't learn to recognize which voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit and which are the voices of everybody else, even ourselves. I don't know if you knew this, but I did some interesting research. Linguists from the University of Montreal in Quebec found that 99% of the time, it only takes two words for us to recognize the voice of a close friend or a relative among other voices. Two words. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could recognize which was the Holy Spirit's voice in just two words? In order to do that, we need to make ourselves familiar with his voice. We learn how to do that recognizing by listening to someone, building relationship with them, allowing conversation so that we have a familiarity with the exact tone and pitch of those speaking to us in our human relationships. The Holy Spirit is the same. The more we listen to him, the more we will find out what it is that he is saying and begin to be able to recognize it by its content and by his tone. The Holy Spirit never speaks condemnation to us. He speaks challenge. He speaks words that are difficult for us to hear. The Holy Spirit has said to me many, many times, "Joy, get over yourself." It's not condemnatory. It doesn't leave me feeling guilty or bad. If we sense God saying something and it makes us feel guilty or bad, then it's probably not actually the right thing. It might be the right tone. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he speaks with loving challenge. We take time to recognize his voice and hear what he is saying about the other voices in our heads. That sometimes words that have been spoken to us, about us, over us, words are like weeds which need to be pulled up, taken out and thrown away. Especially if our minds and our thinking has been influenced by particular relationships in our life, by circumstances or events that have shaped our thinking. Those things of the past need to be pulled up and thrown away. But we can only do that if the Holy Spirit helps us to know which ones they are. And we can only do that when we quieten ourselves, quieten our minds, quieten our thinking, spend time listening to him. The passage that we had read to us tells us that the mind governed by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. Doesn't that sound like the kind of mind that we would like to have? When we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit in our thinking, he brings us that life and that peace by removing those things which have been unhelpful in our thinking. The third thing that the renewing of the mind that the Holy Spirit is doing with us is self-control. Our minds are influenced by what we feed them. And our mind has an appetite. What we feed it will lead us to spend more time and mental energy on that specific thing. sometimes to the point of our thinking about the thing itself controlling the rest of who we are, instead of our thinking controlling, instead of the other way around, instead of God being the thing that controls us. If our thought life leads us towards lust, and we feed it with television, music, books, conversations about sex, then our thinking will be influenced by that, and the appetite for it will grow. Porn does become an addiction, and it's a real challenge, especially for our teenagers today, because it's so prevalent. We need to pray for them. If we find gossip exciting, if we allow our minds to wander and to dwell on those stories that we have heard about other people, then the appetite for gossip will grow, and we will find ourselves unwillingly talking about other people in a way that we shouldn't. If we allow the appetites to grow, then we form habits which are hard to break in our thinking. And so if we want the Holy Spirit to bring that back in, to control, so that we can be self-controlled with his help, then we submit our minds to him and ask him to help us break the habits of our thought life, and ask him to shape what it is that we do spend our time thinking about. We are led by the Holy Spirit to do this fourth thing, which is the setting of new patterns. The Holy Spirit wants us to be taught God's way of thinking, so that our thought life follows God's thought life. He does this in partnership with us. We have to choose each and every day to set our minds on God and to learn his way of thinking. And so we take that time in quietness to read the Bible, to get to know his way of thinking. What does God think about me? If we started that each day, it would change the way we thought about ourselves. What does the Bible tell us, and how do we learn each and every day to have God's thinking about those people around us? If we quietened our hearts and our minds every day and asked God to show us his thoughts about our children, our neighbours, our friends, our work colleagues, all of the situations that we are facing, if we took time each day to really listen to his way of thinking about those people and situations, it would change the way that we thought about those situations and people. We take time to listen for his voice as much as using our own in our thinking. And as we set ourselves on this new track, this new pattern of God's thinking, our very brain is changed. Through the adoption process, I learned quite a lot about neuropathways. These are the pathways, the actual physical pathways in our brains. Scientifically, they can prove that there's a pattern of thinking which becomes default as we practice and repeat that way of thinking. Children who have learned to think that adults are not trustworthy continue to think that, while their experience tells them that over and over again. Children who've learned that if they cry, no one will come, or if they cry, terrible things will come. Those children have neuropathways that particularly follow that expectation and that thinking. And one of the most incredible facts, incredible and powerful things about the adoption training that I did, was that actually when you offer consistent, loving, responsive care as an adoptive parent, you can change those neuro pathways. Loving, consistent care can join up synapses in the brain that have not been able to form and join and be connected because they haven't experienced loving care. When children, even older children, which they used to think was not possible, even older children, when they experience these things, it's not too late for them to have brains and neuropathways that can be changed and reshaped. Because the mind is a powerful thing. And so the Holy Spirit challenges us, and this is the one from Romans 12, which is one of those verses which is so easy to remember and so important. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. That's not just about our behavior, it is about our thinking. Do not let our thinking be the same as the patterns of this world, where the synapses of our brain have not joined up because we haven't understood that we are loved unconditionally by our Heavenly Father. If we spend time allowing our thinking to be changed by that truth, then maybe some other synapses in our brain, other neuro pathways can be formed as the Holy Spirit directs our thinking. The Holy Spirit puts in us a desire for new patterns of thought. He partners with us to learn self-control so that we feed our minds with spiritually nutritious and healthy truth from Scripture, from one another. The Holy Spirit wants us to think about ourselves and our world as He thinks about us, so that our thinking can be free. If we let the Holy Spirit have control, then we will find this true freedom. Our thinking will be released. We will no longer be dominated by negative thoughts or our own thoughts about ourselves. We will no longer simply conform to the thinking of the world around us, but we will be led by the Holy Spirit to have godly thoughts all of the time. Is that your desire? Are you willing, wanting to submit your thinking to the Holy Spirit so that our thinking itself will not cause us harm or damage, but will bring us to the thinking and a mind that is filled with life and peace, just as God has promised us in this passage? Please seek prayer. The prayer ministry team will be at the back at the end of the service. Speak to somebody else. Sign up for the mindfulness course next time it runs. Speak to people who you trust to be wise and godly, to pray with you or to speak into your thinking, so that you can be directed by the Holy Spirit and nothing else. Amen.